You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host, here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast, as well as the Locked On T-Wolves Twitter account. Both those sources are great sources to get you updated on basketball. Timberwolves account, obviously, for your local team. And then the Locked On NBA podcast for news around the NBA. Make sure to go check both of those out. Today, we're going to be previewing the Warriors game. At the end of the podcast, we're also going to be taking an extended look at the five-game road series. The Timberwolves are taking on the West Coast over the next week here. Five games on the road. We're going to preview the common thread through all of those. But first, let's take a look at some injuries. As of right now, Tyus Jones, Jeff Teague, both of those guys are questionable for tonight's game. We'll see how that plays. I know that Jeff Teague, before the Jazz game, said that the news around him was that it might be a lingering injury. It might be something that only takes a few days off of it to get back healthy. I think that one will have a little bit more of an impact than Tyus Jones. I feel like Tyus Jones, I think that his is a little less serious and he can get back quickly from. So you should see him on this road trip. Jeff Teague, I think, is a little more up in the air. As far as Jimmy Butler, it looks like the reports are that he is planning on playing against the Warriors. I think that you just got to roll with the drama, and whatever happens, happens really for him. I know that's not a great answer for your best player on the team to be, if he shows up, he shows up to play, you know. But that's the situation we're in right now with the Timberwolves and with Jimmy Butler, and you just got to roll with the punches. I think that banking too much of the Timberwolves' success on him showing up is a mistake at this point, because it seems the situation is turbulent enough where this is kind of life with Jimmy Butler for the next couple of weeks here. Maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. So we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus in on this road trip. Now, this West Coast road trip, like we talked about with Seth Topol of The Scoop going into the season, this was a daunting prospect for any team. And this was something that was going to show what kind of team the Timberwolves have, just as far as the young guys on here, how mature some of these players are, how developed some of these young guys. I think you're going to learn a lot about Josh Okogie over this road trip and his growth and how he's continued to grow. I think you're going to learn about Towns and Wiggins. I think there's going to be games where it really feels like both of those guys maybe are better off without Butler, even though he's a big contributor. Even this season when he doesn't show up, you still want him on the court ideally, but maybe Towns and Wiggins play more free-flowing when he's not out there. I don't know. I think that's one of the things where, depending on how many games Butler plays again on this series, you kind of see the real contrast of when he's there, when he's not there, as opposed to just one game. And you will need to see a lot of free-flowing basketball from the Timberwolves, because they are playing some really good teams. Like I said, this seemed daunting going into it. It's even more so now, because you looked at it beforehand. So they played the Warriors, the Blazers, the Lakers, Clippers, and Kings in that order. The Kings and the Lakers and the Clippers were not playoff teams last year. Obviously, adding LeBron is a big impact, and that made them dangerous. But now you have the Kings, who have been playing really well, have six wins this season. You have the Clippers, who have been playing really well. I know they're 4-4, but they have had some really solid wins, especially notably over the Rockets. But they are also, all these teams, all five of these teams, are in the top nine as in points scored per game. Warriors, 125 per game. Lakers, 121 per game. Kings, 119.8 per game. Trailblazers, 118.9 per game. Clippers, 115.3 per game. And then you have the Timberwolves right there at 8 with 116 per game as far as points scored. This is going to be a really tough road trip. You're playing a bunch of teams that are really playing hot basketball right now. They have offenses that are going to be high-powered, are going to push the Timberwolves, are going to really force the Timberwolves to play perfect on their possessions. Not only are you playing really good basketball teams as far as scoring, but they're also playing some really efficient basketball teams. Listen to this. As far as field goal percentage, the Warriors lead the league 52.4% from the field. The Kings, 50.3% in third. The Lakers, 49.5% in fourth. The Trailblazers, 47.3% at ninth. And the Clippers, 47.3% there at nine. So the Blazers are eighth, and the Clippers are ninth. Now, again, when you have teams that are scoring really well, obviously, they're going to be fairly efficient. They're doing something right. It's not just all free throws that they're plunking in there to get those high numbers. But you have the Wolves, who are the eighth top highest scoring team in the NBA. They're 18th in field goal percentage at 44.8. So they're playing teams that not only know how to keep pace with the scoring, they're actually playing teams that are more efficient basketball teams than them scoring the basketball. And then you look at some of the three-point numbers for these teams, 41.8% for the Warriors, 40% for the Kings, 39.4% for the Blazers, and then you have the Timberwolves there at 8th, 38.1%. So three of these teams not only are going to be able to score field goals and just score more efficiently, but they're also really good shooting three-pointers, and you knew that about the Warriors. But the Kings can surprise you. The Blazers, you kind of expected that from them. But I think it's more daunting now than it was going into September, this road trip. And I don't think you can go – there's no rest is the really hard part. You can't play the Warriors and the Blazers and then go into the Lakers and say, oh, we're going to beat this team because they have just a bunch of young guys around LeBron. Those young guys are starting to really play well and starting to find a rhythm in this offense, starting to realize what their role looks like in this offense. And you can't say, oh, well, we finish out with the Clippers and the Kings. Those should be wins. I don't think those are gimmies by any means. And for a team that struggled against lower competition last year, now they are playing teams, even the 4-4 Clippers is a team that you really have to get up for and show up for, because they're going to, if you play lazy against them, they're going to move the ball well and they are going to score on you easily. They are 10th in the NBA in shooting in three-point percentage at 37.6%. They're still an outside attacking team. And while the Timberwolves have shown that they can strike back from outside this season, that's still one thing where the Clippers can go punch for punch with you. All these teams can go punch for punch with you on this road trip. This is going to be a very tough road trip. Another thing about this road trip, and the thing that really stuck out to me, is the point guard position is going to be so crucial. And nothing against Derrick Rose. I have, like I said last season, like I said in the offseason, I even did a podcast about this. I did the 180. I've apologized for doubting Derrick Rose. The work he's put in the offseason, the work he puts in off the court is really showing up. He's starting to play selfless. He's starting to realize and have a self-awareness around him and around his game and around his role around the team. He's been playing well. But you need really good point guard play on this road trip, because you're playing some studs this road trip at point guard. And not only do they need Derrick Rose to play lights out, they need more depth so they can keep guys rotating in. They need Jeff Teague to be back as soon as possible, Tyus Jones to be back as soon as possible. They need to be able to rotate through some guards. They need to be able to throw a couple guards out there, because Derrick Rose is not going to be enough. Obviously, Steph Curry is really good. Damian Lillard is really good. And you have De'Aaron Fox. He's playing better. Shai Gilchrist-Alexander for the Clippers. We'll talk about him in a minute. Lonzo Ball has been playing better. But it's not even that there's some studs and then there's some surprises. The studs are actually elevating their play. Listen to some of these stats. Steph Curry this year, 33 points, and he's doing something that I haven't checked the NBA books, the history books, but I'm pretty confident in saying that I don't think this is ever done if he can accomplish this throughout the regular season. So 33 points, first of all, but he's averaging 54.9% from the field, 52.9% from three, and 91.3% from the free throw line. He is on the cusp of being in a 55-50-90 club that I'm assuming he would be the sole member of. That's insane. He said he wanted to get more efficient, but this is ridiculous. His best season from the field was in 2015-16. If you don't remember the numbers there, 50% from the field, 45% from the three-point line, 90.8% from the free throw line, and there he averaged 30 points. He is blowing those numbers. I mean, he's even topping the free throw number, but he's blowing the field goal and three-point percentages out of the water. Out of the water. It's crazy that he is getting more elite, more efficient as he's aging, and he's doing this well. He has Kevin Durant on this team. It's crazy what he has accomplished through 9 games. If he can keep this going, this is absolutely insane. He's also averaging 5.9 assists and 5 rebounds. Those numbers obviously a little down because you do have Kevin Durant picking up some of those stuff. But the shooting that Curry has accomplished is ridiculous so far this year. And I don't think that he's going to fall off a cliff tonight against the Wolves and that Wolves defense. But it's not just Curry. Look at Damian Lillard this year, 29.1 points per game. If he can hold that number, that's a career best. 49.7% shooting from the field, a career best. And again, this is only through 8 games, but still, the best shooting percentage he's had in his career if you average it against the other seasons that he's played. 40% shooting from three, a best. 94% shooting from the free throw line, a best for his career. He's got he's averaging 6 assists, 5.1 rebounds. He is playing better and starting out so hot this season. He's playing more efficient basketball. Then you go to De'Aaron Fox. His numbers are up as well. 19 points per game, 50% shooting from the field, 30.4% from the three-point line, 67.7% from the free throw line is the only number where he's down at, right about the same for the three-point percentage, skyrocketing in the field goal percentage, a lot more points per game, averaging 7.8 assists compared to 4.4 assists last year. He's improving this year. If you go to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I know he didn't play last year, and he's not the primary point guard. He's not playing a ton of minutes, but he is still playing really well for a young guy, and I think he adds a defensive layer to a backcourt that the Timberwolves are going to have to deal with. And then you look at Lonzo Ball. I know that he is also sharing time with Rondo. Rondo is going to get plenty of minutes in this game against the Wolves, but you have his numbers. He's averages just 0.1 less points per game, 10.1 points per game, but he's shooting 46.2%. That's 10% better from the field, 41% from three-point range. That's 11% better from the three-point line, and 55% from the free throw line. That's 10% better than last year. So all these guys that played at least, this is their second season, are all playing more efficient basketball. Their numbers are up. And then you have this from not just guys in their sophomore seasons. You have this from the superstars. This is going to be a really tough week of basketball for the Timberwolves backcourt. They are going to have to keep up with guys who are pushing elite to the extent of the word. And they are playing with guys who last year they were kind of gimme games, and now because of elevated play from these sophomore players, because of elevated play on this rosters, you're going to have a lot tougher games. And I think a lot of this, there's going to be a lot of emphasis on how Derrick Rose, on how Jeff Teague, on how they can play against these elevated backcourts of the opponents that they're playing. So how do they do this? How do they accomplish this? Well, first of all, against the Warriors, this is not going to work. This is just not going to work, because if you're trapping stuff at the top with Curry, and then you're leaving somebody like Klay or Durant open, so that's just not going to work. But the Warriors are an exception. They've got 4 All-Stars, and they're going to add one in December and the All-Star break. They're going to add another All-Star to their starting lineup. They're crazy. They're insane. You can't apply this to them. Outside of the Warriors, outside of playing them against the Blazers, against the Kings, against the Lakers, against the Clippers, I think that you can take what the Pelicans did last season in the playoffs against the Blazers, and you just hold to that. They don't do a ton of things well defensively, but the Timberwolves can create turnovers, and off of those turnovers, they can create fast break points, transition buckets. So here's what you have to do if you're the Warriors. You have to try and create turnovers at the top of the key, right off the elbow. You've got to trap and make sure that if they're trying to screen guys open, that they're creating a turnover at the point guard. So just double the point guard right away. If the Blazers are trying to set something up so that either Damian Lillard can get a look or he can pass the ball, instead of trying to get caught up in switches, clog that up. Just have both guys right there. Really clog up that screen. Make Damian Lillard's break off of his defender really messy. Clog his line of vision. Clog his line of sight towards somebody running to the rim. Really mess up the way they attack you at the high point, at the three-point line. And hopefully you can get stuff going down low, get them attacking more in the post, get them starting their plays more in the post where Towns can really go to work on some of these guys. But letting Damian Lillard just do what he wants up at the three-point line, you've got to try and make that as messy as possible up there. Same with Fox. You've got to try and stay sticky to him, try and clog up what he's seeing, try and keep him from assisting guys. And for him, he's going to try and streak to the basket. So if you're bringing more stuff in, let the Kings bring stuff down. I know that they're a good three-point shooting team, but they're going to win this game by really bringing everything down to the paint and then being opportunistic on the three-point line. I really believe that. So make sure that you're not letting De'Aaron Fox play make and open up stuff. Really stay close to De'Aaron Fox. And again, they're going to set screens for these guys. Make sure you're tight and you're messing up those screens. Really double stuff. And then just let Towns or Taj or whoever the big guy is down low, let him be kind of free to make plays, clean up some of those plays. You got to commit to making those screens and making those picks up at the top as messy as possible. Same goes for Lonzo at the top. Again, that one's going to be tough because LeBron James is somebody who he's probably going to be passing to, or LeBron James is going to be running a lot of the offense. There you just have to weather some of the storms that they're going to throw at you as far as scoring. You can really score a lot of points on that Lakers defense. So there I think that the scoring ability of the Timberwolves kind of makes up for some of the stuff that the Lakers can take advantage of on the Timberwolves defense. But as far as the point, they're going to be facing some really good point guards. You really have to make stuff at the top. The actions and plays are going to run at the top at the three-point line. You've got to make those really messy, and that's how you can create some extra turnovers. That's how you can give Damian Lillard, De'Aaron Fox, Lonzo Ball, even Steph Curry, you can try and get that stuff messy. Again, for the Warriors, it's not going to work. But you got to try. And it's something, and for the Timberwolves defense that really hasn't done much of anything super well, the least you can have them do is create turnovers, and you know they can score off of those. All right, we're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get to the Warriors game. First, some sponsors. The Warriors have been playing lights out. I mentioned Steph's numbers, but really they've been playing insane as a team. Like I said, they lead in so many categories in scoring. They lead in points per game. They lead in field goal efficiency. Field goal percentage. They lead in three-point percentage. They are such a good team, obviously, and they seem to be taking turns almost night to night. Whose game is it to go off? Oh, Klay's feeling it. All right, he's going to get 50-plus. Oh, Curry's feeling it tonight. All right, we're going to get him his 50 in three quarters. Oh, Durant's feeling against the Knicks. All right, we're going to get him 40-plus. He's going to be the guy tonight. It seems less of a grind right now than it was last year for the Warriors. Obviously, that was kind of the storyline for them is that, oh, it's a grind and being the team that everyone wants to show up and play their best game against and getting through the season. It seems more fun. It seems like when Steph is playing at peak Steph powers that it seems more fun and free-flowing. It seems like there is a little less constriction around this team. And because of that, I think that's why you're seeing these numbers go absolutely crazy and why you're able to see some of these crazy games from particular members of the Warriors team. And so when you're the Timberwolves looking at this, what can even be done? Like I said, the best way to attack some of these elite point guards like a Damian Lillard is to attack at the top. Well, then you're leaving Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson or even Draymond Green open. And that's just, that's not going to win you the basketball game. So how can you keep up? Here, I think there's another opportunity, again, for Towns to really go insane. You have down low, I mean, who are they going to throw him? Jordan Bell? You can't, there's not a guy that can play with him on this roster. You've seen Towns really go after and take apart the Warriors before. He can do it again tonight. He can come after him tonight and pick them apart. You've got to fight the Warriors with their outside game. You've got to fight with the little inside. And then when they try and start crashing down, helping on Towns, that's when you can attack them from outside. I don't want the Timberwolves to revert a little bit and only take 19 threes and really try and force feed it to Towns too much. I think Towns should have 20, 22 shots in this game. But I also don't think that there should be a necessity for him to have more than that. I don't think there's a point where you have a guy really dominate a game, and then there's a tipping point, right, where it becomes, oh, we're force feeding him and our offense is becoming way too one-dimensional, way too predictable. You've got to set up Towns early on and get him going early on, both on defense and offense. Get him really feeling it early in this game. And that's how you open up some stuff on the three-point line. That's how you open up for the Timberwolves offense on the outside. And I think if you have a really big push early from Towns matched with the Timberwolves shooting, they're going to have to attempt at least 29 three-pointers in this game, I think, to try and stand. They've been, again, they've been shooting really well from the three-point line. So they need to pop up quite a few three-pointers. They're averaging 28.9 threes per game. They're making 11 threes per game. This is crazy. They're doing so much better than last year. Good job, T-Puffs. I'm so proud of you. Good work. But, again, you have to even top that average tonight. You guys shoot a lot of threes. Hopefully they can hit about 40% of them. That's the way you stay in this game, is Towns kind of bully bowls them early in this one, and then off of that, you find a really consistent three-point look off of that. And again, Okogie's been playing well. Wiggins has been playing well. Towns had the last couple of games against the Jazz, he looked phenomenal. And Derrick Rose has been playing really well. If you can get even one point guard back tonight, give them some depth, give them some different looks, throw a couple point guards out there. This is a really different Warriors team from last year. You can do a couple of things that might surprise the Warriors just a little bit, just because last year the Timberwolves were so predictable. This year they can be a little more unpredictable. They've run lineups plenty of times where they have a couple point guards out there. That's something that you just didn't really see them do last season. They've got this lineup where if you throw Okogie, Wiggins, Derrick Rose, Towns out there, and then you can rotate in Anthony Tolliver. That, I think, is going to be a really interesting lineup to see how the Warriors defend that, how the Warriors attack that lineup, and how Towns can find some really great looks out of that lineup. So stuff like that, being creative, I think will be a big edge for the Timberwolves because this is a new look for them. At the same time, I just don't think it'll be enough. The Warriors are insane right now. The Warriors are insane. So for a prediction, I'm going 128-119 Warriors over the Timberwolves. The Warriors actually might hang 130 on them. That's totally possible. This defense is not super good. But you know what? I think there's a route for the Timberwolves to be really in this game, and I think it'll still be a great watch. Make sure to tune in. Thank you guys so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.